29 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Friday morning. And Penny Puria, our investigative journalist, is in early. We're going to be hearing from Penny today about general matters a little later. That happens on a Friday. But this is a special interview, which, Penny, possibly you want to elaborate on.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to our listeners, and also good morning to our guests. Now, just a little bit of background. Earlier last month, residents near Westbrook and the Tongaat River mouth woke up to this foul smell, and what they discovered was sight of dead fish floating downstream. Tests later confirmed what many suspected. Raw sewage had entered the river, contaminating the estuary and sparking concern about the state of one of KwaZulu-Natal's most fragile ecosystems. Now, Caesar Water, who is the water utility in our area, has since released its own investigation, pointing to blocked manholes, sand infiltration, and upstream pollution from municipal and industrial sources. But this incident has also reopened questions about why government warnings issued years ago went unheeded. And we're in studio today with our guests from Caesar Water, Kobus Faree. And he is the operational manager for Caesar. And then we also have Kamolan Venter-Cussen. Am I going to pronounce it right? That's and close. You're the maintenance manager of Caesar. Welcome to our show.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And just some background. Now, back in 2021, the Provincial Department of Environmental Affairs developed what's called the Tongati Estuary Management Plan. Now, that's essentially a blueprint to protect the Tongaat River from pollution, overdevelopment, and flooding. And not long after that, they did a critical gap analysis, and they wanted to test whether that plan was strong enough, and it found big holes, especially that key waste water infrastructure, like the Area B pump station, and phytoponds weren't even included in the plan. So we're just going to get a little bit into that. And then, Kobus, we're going to just start with you in terms of the big spill that firstly was not detected by the officials. That was actually residents went on WhatsApp and obviously noted it, and that's how you were all notified of the spill. So can we start with that?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. From my side, I stay in Westbrook, and on our group chat, I saw that firsthand. Somebody took a walk on the beach and they saw the dead fish. So I contacted our process and quality department and requested for sampling to be taken upstream and downstream. Initially, we had Kim Molan and his team run to the pump station as well to see if there was anomalies there. We obviously have pump station alarms to our control room, to our office. And our investigation took quite long because we found that from our side there was three sources. We had a block sewer just upstream from the pump station, and then we found above the N2, just below the Etiquini treatment works, we found that there was a discharge there that was quite high. We also found dead fish there. And then further up, there is a factory fed manhole that was discharging more industrial type of sewer. So our report, obviously, we share that with Department of Water Affairs and Environment. It's a Section 20 and a Section 30. And then in that report, we put the findings, and we put down what is our root causes on our side and what we're going to do not to have it happen again. So on our case, as of now, the section of sewer line that was causing the sand infiltration obviously is from a development, and we've blocked that off. So we've contacted the development and said, well, the decision that needs to be taken here is, are you still going to use that line? And if you are, then we have to discuss that. But the line is clear. We've removed quite a lot of sand from the line. It's solidly blocked. And then with regards to the plan that was done a few 4 years ago, I have no knowledge of that, unfortunately. So we can delve into that a bit more. I don't know what was found.
Apparently, one of the, if I may, just come in because I read the report as well.
Yeah.
One of the big problems is that the Phyto Pond, or the dam that is supposed to be sound and intact and collecting grey water for rehabilitation over a period of time that becomes reoxygenated, etc., before re-entering the system. That dam was damaged in 2002, and it has not been repaired. So there is no dam. There's no phyto-whatever dam to catch the grey water that naturally flows from a water treatment plant. And is that not a Caesar water concern?
Yeah. So I think this is where the misconception comes.
Yeah.
The phyto-remediation pond is actually very small. It looks like a kidney right next to our pump station, if you look on Google Earth. That is still intact. The purpose of this phytoremediation pond is if there's high inflows or if we have a spill, the time period, and each pump station gets designed.
Why does the report say that it was damaged in 2002 and not
repaired? No, it was 2021 floods. Well, 2021.
Sorry. Timing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
2002 for me is just yesterday.
Yes. I can confirm that our phytoremediation pond wasn't damaged in the floods because we inspected it afterwards.
Yeah.
The misconception is the first development lake is talked about as if it's that, if that's the phytoremediation pond, and it's quite large.
Is that a development lake on lake on Zimbali Lakes?
No, Zimbali Lakes has got, I think, 1, 2, 3, or 4 lakes.
Yeah.
And the very first lake right next to our pump station, that is the one that everyone thinks is a phytoremediation.
Because it's got an aeration device in it. Is that
I don't know.
No,
well, I don't know
one
what
that has,
in. Our phytoremediation pond, if you look on Google Earth, it looks like a kidney. It's right next to the pump station. And it's very small, actually.
Okay.
It does not contain as much of an area as the first lake.
So the other bodies of water around the estuary, I'm talking about lakes in particular, are those not controlled at all by Caesar? Not at all?
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge problem with the Zimbali Estate Lake. I know this for a fact. As soon as it breaches and flows to the sea, as lakes are supposed to do, and dogs go and play in that water, you must ask how many pet owners come to us with a story of even my beloved German Shepherd has suffered the consequence. What's in the water that is so dangerous?
Sorry.
No, can I just say, you know, there was a civic organization which Jason Kumbush, he is an environmentalist and sits on the Docker Environmental Committee as well, and he is part of the Greater North Coast Civic and Environmental Network. He actually released photos as part of his report of the blocked manholes. They were very explicit. And it, basically, there was an oversight on maintenance from looking at those photos as well. I mean, why was that allowed to continue to the level where this spill, which could have been prevented, did happen? So I mean, that to me is lack of oversight.
Yeah, so from our side, we have around 8,000 manholes. That's quite a lot, and we can't monitor those daily, monthly. We got those on a 7-year rotation, maintenance-wise. So each manhole gets checked every 7 years because it's a low-energy or low-maintenance product. Kimolen does monitor inflows into his sewer pump stations, and that's specifically our compensation pump station. We monitor that and our Shaka's Head, where we have more rural problems where if there's no inflow, there would be an overflow, and we go and check for that. With this specific case, we have two inflow streams, the main stream from Zimbali itself, and then a smaller stream from the newly lakes development. And the small stream is actually what was blocked. Now, that stream has around 100 to 200 units on it. So the overflow wasn't detected through our normal operations.
Okay.
It was in a very bushy area. I met with Jason, I think, afterwards, and I took him through our report because he had some misconceptions and understandings on that, and I hope I've cleared that up.
Yeah.
So detection-wise, Kimolen also, his team, when they drive to the pump station, it's still a rural road, it's gravel, and I know from onset, because I had his position previously, there is a stream that runs through the gravel road, and it does run past our phytoremediation pond, so there's always water there. So our teams would not have noticed, well, there's water here, and, you know, it could be overflow, because it's always wet. And that is where we didn't pick it up.
Can I just come in here? I understand that. No one's casting aspersions. You guys do a really good job, and we're very happy that you do, and grateful. But what is of concern here is an estuary that is an incredibly sensitive ecosystem that has been pretty much now killed. And it is, as we speak, one hears, well, the reason that fish die is because there's no oxygen in this water that's released into the estuary, and so they die because they can't breathe. And everyone says, oh, well, that's terribly sad, but the oxygen will come back. Yes, it will, and hopefully things rehabilitate. But what goes with it are all of those chemicals that are household detergents and antiretrovirals and hormones, and then from the industrial pollution side, heavy metals and ding-ding. And those don't get flushed out or washed out or dried out by the sun. They stay, and that creates havoc with the breeding cycles of all sorts of creatures that are then no longer able to reproduce. The estuary effectively stays dead. That's where we are at the moment. Are there any plans to try to rehabilitate it?
I think the problem is quite general in South Africa, yeah, with all rivers and streams. We have, in the drought in 2016, we obviously wanted to look at Tongaat River to use some of the water and treat it and use it for ourselves. And we did the study, and it was so polluted we couldn't do that.
It's been shocking forever.
So if you look at the Tugela River, for example, I'm a fisherman. I fish downstream of Tugela, and paper pulp collects on my line. Wow. when I fish there. I think it's general in South Africa, and it needs a serious wake up. I agree with that. But unfortunately, we're not the authority, but we're happy to coincide and work together with
because people. I'm thinking that this could be something really special. I know that you have, as a company, a deep concern for the community. And your track record speaks for itself. You do good stuff, generally speaking. And I know that the estates around that estuary equally are, because that's what they're selling, this pristine, come and retire to the, you don't want to come and retire to dead water full of chemicals and crap, like, excuse the French. But I wonder if there's not a meeting of the minds where, with your expertise and some financial contribution of merit from those very, very posh estates around that area, and possibly municipal as well, but I mean, we can't talk about that, but certainly public-private partnership in this regard. Is it possible to rehabilitate that estuary?
Can I also just make a point there? You know, there was, in the terms of, we're looking at a bigger picture now, the environmental plan already warned, and that's mandated. It's a national plan, the one that was released in 2021 on the river systems because of the degradation and the pollution and obviously the very sensitive ecosystems around it. And the critical gap analysis both said that Tongaat faced serious risks from wastewater and sand infiltration, which we need to talk on. And they recommended creating a multi-stakeholder estuary forum to coordinate between Caesar Water, Itakwini, Kwadukuza, the EDTA, and the developers. Now, that forum was never established, and what that means is no accountability and no coordinated monitoring, which we've obviously seen because the public were the first to become aware of it, and they raised the alarm. So is there any way to establish this forum, which was actually mandated from, the national structures?
That would be the perfect scenario, yes.
Yeah. Have you all met, have all the stakeholders, because you also mentioned a lot of the sand that gets into these, paths are from the developers nearby. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that? Is that just an isolated incident where we are seeing the problem by the Tongaat estuary, or is this everywhere as well?
We actually have very naughty consumers, and across the whole area. That is from our poor to our rich. And I'm going to just give you sort of an idea of what we're dealing with. In our local communities, low-cost communities, we have some of our manholes serving as tables in their lounges. They build across the sewer pipelines. The manholes, we can't even get to it. It's used as a rubbish dump. The manhole's left open, and that's the bin. Yeah. Kimolin has got quite a problem, so that's why we...
But don't you guys have the authority to act in these matters? Don't you have the authority to say... Because you've done it. You've closed off that one errant pipeline. Yeah. You mentioned that earlier. Why don't you just do that?
Our bylaws are quite strict on what we can do and what we can't do. So in the case of building control...
Yeah, but they're also pretty strict about you can't use a manhole as a dining room table.
It happens. In the Belito, the more richer areas, we have people connecting these swimming pools backwards.
Yeah, but now you guys have been doing some testing and apparently issuing massive fines for stormwater connected, etc. So you can do it if you want to.
We are actually running now with a program whereby we want to sort of... tell people what they can and they can't do, as if they don't know. But we did have that problem. Currently, I've got two extra teams this year assigned on infiltration alone because the problem is becoming so big.
It is a core critical issue. And you know what? I mean, we're short of time, and so I'm going to just try and circumvent a long conversation. Is it possible, and this is the question today, for us to collectively, together, come up with some kind of integrated management plan? We will be the public voice, if you like, of this thing and communicate what's happening, and everyone gets the kudos. You see, everyone wins if estuary and subsequent benefits flowing down from it become known about, because if you don't know, you don't know, you don't care. When you know, you care. And I think this has been the problem, and particularly highlighted by this matter. Dead fish on the beach, this is shocking for tourism, for residents, generally for Brand Belito. Beautiful, pristine water, that's what we aim for. If we can do it together, how wonderful is that? What needs to happen next?
Well, we need to obviously engage. That's the main thing. For us, first we need to engage with our developers. To give an example, built estates, we don't have authority to go inside. So we've actually found a meter now to measure the sewer. So I say this because infiltration is a big problem. With it comes sand and a lot of other things that are not supposed to be there. Now we're going to be looking at how much water you're discharging when it rains. And I'm coming after contributions because our systems are not designed for this. We're happy to build bigger systems, but somebody has to pay under the Finance Act. So our aim is to monitor, measure, and then go back to those parties and say, well, you're being naughty. We're giving you 3 months to resolve this. If not, you're going to charge you with contributions.
And this is something that everyone's going to benefit from, surely. Even the estates that are causing the problem must see the benefit of fixing this the problem, because ultimately it's their product that they are selling, are damaging.
Yeah. Have you found anyone? Is there a case study where you are finding finding builders and developers who are actually doing this knowingly that they are causing infrastructure failure into the region? And then obviously the end effect is what we are seeing now.
Yes. So developers and contractors are actually not the biggest problem we have. Because we're very strict on them and they don't like us much.
Yeah.
Well, especially myself.
It's accountability
and
oversight.
We're very strict on that. But our biggest problem is actually the homeowners currently in our area.
Yeah.
Which is all to do with communication. People don't understand what's going on. Correct. And what they are doing is causing. And getting back to, and I'm inviting you and I'm opening the forum. We would love to have a regular conversation where the issues can be discussed. We can spread the information. And then there is no excuse, because if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. And no one can then say, I don't know, because we're going to put it out in general parlance on the air, social media. We're going to flood the area with the right information so that everyone working together to create a solution to this problem can at least feel part of the solution, not part of the problem. And if there are those that continue to misbehave, we will name and shame, because they are part of the problem, and that's what we need to do. I know it's not pleasant. Someone's got to do it, and I'm very happy to do. You know me, gosh, yeah, grumpy old swine down there. But no, at the end of the day, we're all looking for the same thing. And I, just to conclude, I think you guys are doing a fabulous job in difficult circumstances sometimes. But I think the communication has been poor. And now that you've been thoroughly remonstrated with, and I'm feeling so much better about that, thank you for coming. I really appreciate
it's always
that.
A pleasure.
We're going to continue this dialogue. And Penny, thank you for your very thorough investigation.
Yeah.
And well, you will continue that for sure.
I think credit also must be given to Jason Kombush, who, you know, took time and used a lot of his own resources and to get deep into this. And I think the way forward now is what he has also proposed, a new proposal for an estuary management forum, which obviously will improve accountability and coordination with all the stakeholders, because that estuary is such a part, important part of the North Coast. And obviously, you know.
So we look forward to a report back that says this, the forum has been formed. We've invited so-and-so and so-and-so. And this has been their response. And if there's been a negative response, then you know what? We'll actually put a little bit of pressure to the, if there is a negative response, to try and get buy-in, because everyone wins in this way. Not so.
Absolutely.
So there it is. Thank you to our very special guest from Caesar Water and our investigative journalist, Penny Faree, who will be back shortly to give us a roundup of what's been happening during the week.
Yeah, thanks, Kobus and Kamalan.